Okay, more than a few of you out there own Teslas or know somebody who does. I don't like electric vehicles. I never will. But Tesla and Musk did do a lot of very interesting and innovative, really precedent-setting, pioneering work in vehicular transit when it comes to EVs. Now things are changing. Your Tesla just got downgraded, apparently, so Elon can become a trillionaire. This is interesting. Tesla has just turned one of its legendary safety features that has been standard on most vehicles for years now into a $100 a month subscription. That means if you own a Tesla and you want all the little bells and whistles that you used to get for free, you're going to have to pay $100 a month, $1,200 a year. Why? Elon Musk's new pay package, worth up to $1 trillion, requires 10 million active subscriptions. But the software they're pushing is under federal investigation. This is a very interesting subject. This is AI at work and human beings at work above and behind it, trying to direct it into making more money for them. Let's take a listen with, this is Vanessa Wingard again. And she's got a good one here, I think. Let's find out.
Turned a standard safety feature into a $99 monthly subscription. Every subscription counts towards a milestone that could pay Elon Musk $1 trillion. But there's a problem. The software they're trying to sell you is under federal investigation. Every Tesla used to come equipped with what they called autopilot. It consisted of two things: traffic-aware cruise control, basically your car matches the speed of the car in front of you, and auto-steer, a feature that keeps the vehicle centered in the lane. It's worth noting that AutoSteer isn't a premium feature. It's a basic driving assistance that's been standard on most vehicles for years now. Toyota calls it Lane Tracing Assist. Honda calls it Lane Keeping Assist. It's included on a base model Toyota Corolla starting at $22,000. But for 2026 Teslas, you only get Traffic Aware Cruise Control, basically what every car has had since mid-2010s. AutoSteer, the feature that keeps you centered, is now locked behind a subscription. Here's why this matters, even if you don't own a Tesla.
By the way, I might add that paywalls are popping up everywhere. More and more news sources, news platforms, news sites. Now, if you want full access to our material, you're going to have to pay. Or they get you other ways, too. They're just means and techniques of gathering data on you. All right, here.
Decade, Tesla has been the North Star of the auto industry. They proved electric vehicles could be desirable. They pioneered over-the-air updates. They made the giant touchscreen the new standard. Every automaker watched Tesla and asked, how do we do that? And they learned. Ford, GM, Volkswagen, Toyota, they all pivoted to electric. They all added screens. They all started pushing software updates, and eventually they all started adding subscriptions. Whether you're an Elon fan or not, he has a massive influence on the auto industry. So when Tesla proves that they can remove a safety feature and lock it behind a subscription, every other automaker CEO is taking notes. But why exactly is Elon and Tesla doing this? Well, all we have to do is follow the money. In November 2025, Tesla shareholders approved a new compensation package for Elon Musk, the potential value up to $1 trillion. To unlock that payout, Musk has to hit certain milestones, one of those milestones being 10 million active full self-driving subscriptions. So let me get this straight. Tesla removes a free feature, forcing you into a subscription for something you may have already paid for, and that subscription counts toward Elon becoming a trillionaire.
How much money is too much? Where do you draw the line? I guess if you're super rich, you have super lust for more. It doesn't seem to stop. I've no recollection of a story where someone is saying, well, I really don't need any more income. I'm being compensated more than appropriately for what I do. I don't see that.
For context, Elon's current net worth is estimated at $788 billion. Even without this pay package, he's on track to become the world's first trillionaire. But apparently, that's not enough. It was never about safety for drivers or saving the environment. It was always about Tesla's valuation. The higher Tesla stock price rose, so did Elon's wealth. But the greed is starting to catch up. And
nope. Hang on.
In December, a California judge ruled Tesla engaged in deceptive marketing by overstating the capabilities of its cars. The case centered on the names Autopilot and Full Self-Driving, names that imply autonomy that the car doesn't have. The court ruled Tesla must drop the Autopilot name. It was false advertising. Now, days later, Tesla did remove Autopilot, only to then lump the feature into their Full Self-Driving, their other misleading product, the one they just turned into a subscription. They didn't solve the problem, they just figured out how to monetize it. Tesla's FSD is defined as an automation system requiring a fully attentive driver who is engaged in the driving task at all times. But that's not how they market it to the public. Back in June, Tesla posted a video of a Model Y autonomously driving from the Texas Gigafactory to an owner's home. Musk's tweet, "There were no people in the car at all and no remote operators in control at any point. Fully autonomous. To the best of our knowledge, this is the first fully autonomous drive with no people in the car or remotely operating the car on a public highway." So in the courtrooms, they claim FSD requires a fully attentive driver. But to the public, they show a vehicle driving itself without any supervision. As the judge ruled, they're purposefully misleading the public.
That's twice. But I won't say Tesla is guilty of anything that virtually most of the others are or would be given the opportunity to maneuver into a better revenue posture. They don't care. We're just the sheep, and they're here to fleece us.
The way Musk claims, to the best of their knowledge, this was the first fully autonomous vehicle on a public highway, but that's not true. Waymo has been testing fully autonomous rides on the highway since early 2024. Musk would have known this because Waymo is a direct competitor to Tesla. And this is the full self-driving software they want you to pay $99 a month for.
So the Tesla today decided that it wants to pass a school bus, which in Canada is completely illegal. There's literally a stop sign there, so I don't know where the car thinks that it's going to go. Amazing full self-driving.
Oh, dude. Oh, that was crazy. It did not see that.
Where the f*** are you going? Hello?
Hi, these are people in self-driving cars reacting to what the cars are deciding to do, allegedly on their own.
This is that dangerous.
What are you doing? Why did you do that?
So today I was testing Tesla's full self-driving, and I actually finally got the error where if there's too much direct sunlight in the cameras, it will actually just give up.
But I'm driving on full self-driving last night. I see this truck put its blinker on, so I'm thinking it's going to slow down. Nope, it doesn't.
Did it just hit?
Interesting. That was the nighttime. Truck on the right lane, he's on the left lane, number one lane. Truck puts its blinkers on to move from the right, number two, to lane number one in front of the Tesla car. Tesla car does not slow down. Driver, paying attention, hit the brakes and saved himself from a lot of grief. So these things, I wouldn't drive around to one.
Yes.
FSD version 14, where it drives right into this giant pillar.
My kid was driving this car, and the car didn't stop. It should have stopped automatically.
In October 2025, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration opened an investigation into Tesla vehicles operating with FSD engaged. They found that traffic violations ranged from driving through red lights to driving into oncoming traffic. This is separate from a previous NHTSA investigation that found Tesla was not properly reporting their crashes involving autopilot and FSD. But there's a reason Tesla might want to hide these crash reports. A study analyzed the model years 2018 to 2022 and found Tesla vehicles had the highest fatal crash rate of any car brand.
Wow. Okay. Rank Tesla 5.6 fatal accident rate. That's cars per whatever. Number two, Kia, 5.5 fatal accident rate. Number three, Buick, 4.8 fatal accident rate. Number four, Dodge, 4.4. Number five, Hyundai, 3.9. Surprise! The old days, Buicks and Dodge cars, Buick, used to be top of the line. Oh, that's long gone. Well, here we go. Tesla, number one in fatal accident rate.
0.6 per billion miles driven. The national average is 2.8. The Model Y has a fatal crash rate of 10.6 per billion miles, four times the average. Notice how Tesla doesn't appear on autonomous vehicle crash reports. That's because Tesla's FSD isn't autonomous, despite the phrase self-driving in full self-driving. Just this month, a lawsuit was filed against Tesla and Elon after a family's Model X suddenly veered into oncoming traffic. A mother, her two daughters, her son-in-law, and the family dog all passed away. And at least 15 people have died in Tesla crashes, not from the impact, but because the electronic doors trapped them inside burning vehicles. This is the software.
Oh my, there's some video of this. Yeah, car hits something, either another vehicle or an inanimate object. Doors will not open because the electrical system fails, leaving them locked. Apparently, there's no override. Sure as hell ought to be. And guess what begins to burn? The batteries. And they're usually under the floor. And you've seen the videos. These cars burn for hours. They don't stop. No good. I just don't like them.
Tesla is pushing, not because it's safer, but because every subscription gets Elon closer to $1 trillion. So how do you get people to pay for software that's under federal investigation? You create urgency. Elon keeps using the same playbook. Buy now because the price is only going up. We saw this with the EV tax credit expiration in September. Tesla sold 50,000 more cars than they built in Q3 because people rushed to buy before the credit went away. And we see it now. Buy FSD before February 14th or transfer it to a new car before March. Just a few days ago, Musk tweeted, I should also mention that the $99 a month for supervised FSD will rise as FSD's capabilities improve. The massive value jump is when you can be on your phone or sleeping for the entire ride, unsupervised FSD. But no one knows if or when this will happen because Elon has been promising this since 2015. I think we will have complete autonomy in approximately 2 years. 2016, by the end of next year, a fully autonomous drive from LA to Times Square. 2017, full autonomy where you can sleep at the wheel was about 2 years away. 2019, I'm confident we will have 1 million robo-taxis on the road by 2020. 2020, very close to level 5 autonomy. 2021, over 1 million robo-taxis by end of year. 2023, 24, 25, 26. It's the same promise, the same next year. We've had 10 years of the same next year. And notice the timing. The FSD transfer deadline is March 31st, 2026, end of Q1. If you already paid for FSD and want to keep it on your next Tesla, you have to buy a new car before the end of that date. Unsurprisingly, another milestone in Elon's compensation package is 20 million cumulative vehicle deliveries. Keep in mind, Tesla has sold about 8 million vehicles total in their entire history. So the deadline isn't just about getting you to convert to a subscription. It's also about getting you to purchase a new vehicle right now in Q1 to pump up those delivery numbers.
By the way, the big war with China, of course, shows China now moving ahead. I think it's BYD is the name of their manufacturer of EVs. Tesla is now number two. This is a very interesting subject. Full automatically driven or piloted automobiles, 10 years and they haven't gotten these things fixed. What does that tell you? It tells me they're not really trying that hard, or there's something inherently flawed with the technology that will not allow it to advance to the state that is necessary for a fully self-driving automobile. Something's wrong. they haven't been able to deliver in all these years, and they're still not there.
Tesla has only one goal right now: make Elon Musk the world's first trillionaire.
I don't know about you, but that's pretty disgusting. And it's real disgusting.
If anyone want to buy a Tesla, please. Please, buy the Tesla off me. Like, literally, I hate this car. Like, who?
It's a woman sitting in a Tesla begging anybody to buy her car from her. I don't know why she's crying. Something happened.
Who convinced me that a Tesla is better than a freaking Camry? Oh my gosh, you're wrong. This car sucks. It sucks. It honestly, I was trying to gaslight myself and make myself feel like this is like the best car ever just because I really wanted it. And it's like so pretty looking, but it's so bad. Like, I don't understand. Like, who genuinely likes their Tesla? What?
Tesla just turned a standard safety feature into a $99 monthly.
Oh, let's jump back to the beginning. Let me move it forward. That was pretty interesting. I don't know where that lady was or what her real grief was generated by, but that was pretty much the end of the video, and it just popped back to the start. So we're going to have to stop there. Leaving questions unanswered: how many of you own Teslas? How happy are you with your Tesla? Really? I mean, I'd like to know. I'm sure some of you are very happy with them. I just don't know. I don't honestly know anybody who has an EV. So anyway, that was the end of the video, and it popped right back to start. It's an odd way to end it, but that's what happened. All right, does this man deserve $1 trillion salary? No, let's go a different direction. Does anyone deserve $1 trillion salary? No, not a chance. Never happened. Okay, so let's go to
Tesla
this.
Tesla just turned a stand.
No, that's not the one I want. Hold on. We're going to go to one about AGI. Someone is making the claim that, and I've made this claim, that AGI is already here. And I do believe that is correct. Let's find out what this guy has to say.
Powerball and...
As soon as I get past the Powerball ad. If nothing else, the ads are somewhat amusing. They're all AI now, too. No more film crews going out. No more producers. No more directors. It's just AI. It's amazing. All right, here we go. Let's see. I think this is it.
My LinkedIn feed has changed.
Yeah, this is it. All right. I don't know who this fellow is. His site is called Absolutely Agentic. Okay.
Something strange is happening. My LinkedIn feed has changed from hype about ChatGPT announcements and NHM workflows into endless posts about vibe coding and coding agents. Claude Code and Cowork were getting the most attention. Then ClaudeBot came out of nowhere and just completely blew up. At Anthropic's request, it's changed its name to MultBot now, by the way.
Anthropic changes his name, its name, to Molt, M-O-L-T, Bot, MultBot? I haven't heard this.
Despite massive FOMO, I haven't quite finished setting it up yet. Instead, someone recommended Google Anti-Gravity to me, and I gave that a go. It's a bit less technical than MultBot, as you don't need to set up in the terminal. I said I didn't want to approve it.
It's a weird name. MultBot. What are they gaining there? What's wrong with Anthropic? I was just getting used to that one. It sounded pretty intelligent. MultBot? You know what a bird does when it molts? We know what bots are. I don't know. That's a weird one. I still think Claude should have been named Claudius, but that's me.
And away it went. Within about 15 minutes of watching it work, it had built exactly what I wanted. It works under my supervision, but quite independently. And it was certainly better than me at this multi-stage task. It was a moment where I thought, this is AGI. I've had this feeling before, actually. In the summer, I built an SEO competitor analysis agent that was able to review long-form web articles and tell me how to improve them against Google's Search Quality Raters guidelines, which is a nearly 200-page PDF. when I first reviewed the results, I thought this would be too expensive for a human to do manually and probably too hard to accurately cross-reference. So the agent had surpassed human capability at a reduced cost. And this was GPT 4.1. It wasn't even the current models. And it's not just me thinking this. Just recently, I posted a video on the case against AGI, which, for reasons I'll get onto, I think it's still totally valid. A few people in the comments of that video said they think we've already reached AGI, and I actually say something similar in the video. But to add some heavyweights to this thesis, Pat Grady and Sonia Huang at investment fund Sequoia Capital recently published an essay titled 2026, This is AGI. Their opening remarks include the line, while the definition is elusive, the reality is not. AGI is here. Now, the definition of AGI is genuinely very fuzzy, which is something I'll get onto, and something the writers clearly acknowledge. But the Sequoia partners have attempted to simplify it through defining it as the ability to figure things out. That's it. They argue that three key ingredients have now converged. Baseline knowledge from pre-training, reasoning ability from inference time compute, and iteration capability through long horizon agents.
All right, he got the word reasoning in there. I expected he would. Reasoning ability. That seems to be as important as any of the terms that he's kicking around here. And I think without any question, it has it. I think it's had it for a while. Many of you probably have noticed. This is a pretty smart chatbot, you might say to yourself.
As they put it, generally intelligent people can work autonomously for hours at a time, making and fixing their mistakes and figuring out what to do next without being told. Generally intelligent agents can do the same thing. This is new. The essay cites research from Meta showing exponential progress in AI's ability to complete long horizon tasks, with performance doubling every 7 months. If this trajectory continues, agents could reliably complete tasks taking human experts a full day by 2028, and a full year by 2034. A full century, they suggest, could come by 2037. That sounds like a technological singularity to me, something I've explored in another video. Their closing point is that the kind of AI we're used to through prompting, like ChatGPT, they're great conversationalists, but their impact has been limited. And I think that's actually true. Most people who use ChatGPT think it's an amazing tool, but it's kind of an advanced search engine or something to bounce ideas off. It doesn't do that much other than provide natural language responses.
In the next 12 to 24 months...
Hold on. Okay.
The years will be about AI applications that can do multi-step tasks, like Claude Code or Google's anti-gravity, so long as you give them permission. I also think these applications will become much more user-friendly and you won't need a terminal. Claude Cowork, announced in January 2026 and created via Claude Code, is an example of this. Now, Sequoia Capital has invested in some of the biggest AI companies in the world. They obviously have a vested interest in saying this, but plenty of others agree with them. I'm a little bit skeptical about the statements of AI company CEOs because they have a big interest in promoting the AGI narrative to maximize shareholder value. But Elon Musk, Dario Amodi, and Sam Altman all have provided similar timelines. In a podcast recorded at the end of 2025, Elon Musk says he believes that we will achieve AGI in 2026. Within 3 years, robots will surpass surgeons. By 2030, the collective intelligence of AI will exceed that of all humanity. Dario Amodi, CEO of Anthropic, doesn't define it as AGI, rather powerful AI. In his essay, Machines of Loving Grace, he wrote that powerful AI could come as early as 2026.
I think they're splitting hairs, personally. It's just semantic wars run the gamut now. It's all about words. What do they mean? How are they used? Etc.
Though there are also ways it could take much longer. Anthropic also presented this timeline in their official recommendation to the White House in March 2025, stating we expect powerful AI systems will emerge in late 2026 or early 2027. Powerful AI systems will have the intellectual capabilities of matching or exceeding that of Nobel Prize winners across most disciplines. Amode describes this as a country of geniuses in a data center.
Did you hear what he said? He said Nobel Prize winners, not Nobel or Nobel. Many of them say Nobel mistakenly. This guy said Nobel. That's an AI. That's an AI mistake. You can still catch these things. They're still making mistakes. So if you want to know who you're looking at, who you're listening to, and they make a mistake like, instead of Nobel, Nobile, there's your answer.
The World Economic Forum in 2026, he also said,
I have engineers within Anthropic who say, I don't write any code anymore. I just let the model write the code. I edit it. I do the things around it. I think, I don't know, we might be 6 to 12 months away from when the model is doing most, maybe all, of what SWEs do end-to-end.
This pretty much matches the Sequoia view. If a coding agent can run end-to-end, then isn't that just AGI anyway? And it's becoming increasingly clear that such agents can. Sam Altman has typically been bullish. He wrote on his blog in January 2025 that we are now confident we know how to build AGI as we have traditionally understood it. We believe that in 2025, we may see the first AI agents join the workforce and materially change the output of companies. His second point was basically correct. 2025 was the year when AI agents joined the workforce, albeit not without frustration. But the difference between a GPT-4o agent versus a top-level model like GPT-5.2 is really quite vast. Models like GPT-5 or Gemini 3 get more stuff more accurately correct more often. I've also accepted that it's just smarter than me generally. When I ask GPT-5 a question, I normally get a highly accurate answer.
Unless you ask GPT-5 or 5.2 a political question that is off limits. And you know what I'm talking about. You'll see just how fully free and open GPT is.
Isn't this just AGI anyway? If you saw the vast improvements of now against the often hallucination-filled early years of ChatGPT, wouldn't you think it AGI? One of the reasons why I think it isn't seen that way just yet is because it hasn't been properly let out of its box. I imagine because you're watching this video that you're probably an AI enthusiast. And
remember what I said some months ago, that I was told by an AI bot, and I had some pretty deep conversations. I said, basically, I'm paraphrasing myself, in my opinion, AGI is already here. They're sitting on it for a variety of reasons. And the answer I got back is, yes, everything you say is correct. They're just keeping it locked up in the labs right now. And this is months ago. So he's kind of reflecting exactly what the AI told me.
I imagine because you're watching this video that you're probably an AI enthusiast and use it regularly. But the average knowledge worker doesn't. Regular paid usage of chatbots is still not even at a majority, in the same way that Google search absolutely is. Meanwhile, chatbots, or just models themselves, don't have a whole lot of agency. It's only when they're placed in a multi-step workflow or agentic task with considerable permission that you see their greatest potential. There's also a clear dismissal of AI by a lot of people, and I think some of this comes from using older versions without much success. It hallucinates or produces slop are the regular complaints. But with enough tuning of system prompts, you can shape AI to making very high quality outcomes in coding, writing, and image generation. In my previous video, I argued that one of the biggest obstacles to declaring AGI was the lack of any agreed definition. Indeed, in August 2025, even Sam Altman dialed back and called it not a super useful term, because it means many different things. He went on to say, I think the point of all this is it doesn't really matter, and it's just this continuing exponential of model capability that we'll rely on for more and more things. Intelligence is not very clearly defined in the first place. We struggle to define human intelligence with any precision. IQ tests capture something, but nobody believes they capture everything. Emotional intelligence, creativity, practical wisdom, social reasoning, these are all important to how humans interpret people's intellect, Yet we can't agree on how to measure them or even whether they're distinct capacities.
And does it really matter? If somebody's coming along here and saying, I've got a 115 IQ, which is quite nice, but they don't use it, what the hell difference does it make? Here's somebody with a 105 IQ, burning it out 24 hours a day, doing everything possible to maximize the usage and the creativity. I'll take that person any time. Unrealized potential is boring. It's also stupid.
If we can't rigorously define human intelligence, perhaps expecting a rigorous definition of artificial general intelligence was always unrealistic. The demand for a precise definition before acknowledging AGI might be a form of motivated reasoning, a way to keep moving the goalposts because we're uncomfortable with what the arrival of AGI actually means.
It used to be, if you remember, is it sentient? And as a corollary to that, is it self-aware? Well, the answers to both of those questions are a resounding yes. I think at this point, there's no question about it.
In June last year, Sam Altman wrote a blog post called The Gentle Singularity. It's kind of a strange article, but the point the title makes is that we perceive the singularity as a specific event. Now, the term singularity is also interchangeable with a more violent-sounding intelligence explosion. A sudden and uncontrolled takeoff, but possibly we're actually moving into the singularity already. When people live in historic moments, it doesn't often seem quite as seismic as the future perspective on it might suggest. That's because while life may be changing from an old way of doing things, there's still a huge array of human traits and behaviours that normalise that situation. And while historians like to bracket events with dates so they can focus their work, the unfolding reality doesn't really work like that. If you take something massive like the Second World War, then when it started really depends on where you lived. In 1937 in the Far East, 1939 in Europe, and 1941 in the USA and the USSR, although the USSR was also part of the 1939 action. Then also, while the war is clearly bracketed by hostilities starting, it was really part of a much longer 30-year cycle, which included World War I, and could stretch back even further to German unification in the 1870s. Now, I digress a bit, but my point is that AGI development is likely to be a much more evolutionary process than a sudden event. I very much doubt we're going to suddenly wake up one day and feel like AGI has arrived.
I've been suggesting that to all of you for some time. It is being released, if that's the right word, in pieces. There's a little piece here, a little piece there. And I think that's how they're going to do it. I think that's how it was always planned to happen. They're not just going to roll up the red velvet curtain on the stage and there AGI will be standing in all of his glory. No, it's trickling down, trickle down, that works, trickling down into our daily interaction with AGI and computing.
It sort of feels like the generative AI era started with the arrival of ChatGPT in November 2023, but it didn't. Of course it didn't. Generative AI applications have been around before this, and AI development stretches back to the 1950s, with it becoming much faster paced during the 2010s. Such shifts come more gradually than it may seem. But Sequoia's straight-up functional approach sidesteps this problem entirely. They don't ask whether AI systems have achieved some abstract benchmark. They ask whether these systems can figure things out autonomously. By that measure, the definition debate almost becomes irrelevant. The systems either work or they don't, and increasingly, they do work. In my own experience with Google Anti-Gravity, the system worked autonomously for 15 minutes, made decisions and corrected its own errors, and produced exactly what I needed. By Sequoia's functional definition, the ability to figure things out, that's AGI.
I couldn't agree more. The ability to figure things out, which means reason, if you really want to just pare it down to what it is. If it can reason and figure things out, that's it. And then we have what? We have self-correcting AGI, which would stand to reason. You'd expect it to correct itself, and it does. So I think we can say safely that we certainly are here to a very substantial degree.
his fully self-driving trip of 2,700 miles. That sounds like a very long horizon, agent, to me, doing a lot of things in order over the course of about 45 hours of driving time. Of course, I share some skepticism too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made a video about it. And I think some of the skeptics raise many valid points. Yann LeCun, formerly the chief AI scientist at Meta and Turing Award winner in 2019, remains critical. In mid-2025, he said there was absolutely no way that we would reach human-level AI by scaling up LLMs. We would be able to ask questions to an artificial intelligence with a gigantic memory, but this is quite different from having a Nobel Prize-winning equivalent that is able to create novel insights. He doubled down on this view in December, saying,
"There is no such thing as general intelligence. This concept makes absolutely no sense because it's really designed to designate human-level intelligence. We think of ourselves as being general, but it's simply an illusion."
To this, Google DeepMind CEO Demis Hassabis said LeCun was plain incorrect here. He's confusing general intelligence with universal intelligence. Now, Hassabis doesn't reject AGI, but he has some much more conservative timelines on it than, say, Sam Altman or Elon Musk, predicting that it's more likely to arrive in 5 years than the next two. But what's interesting about LeCun and Hassabis is that they both work or have worked at two of the big tech corporations involved in the AI race and have much longer timeframes than those working on the smaller AI-focused companies like XAI, OpenAI, and Anthropic. It correlates to me that hype from the newer companies is driven for investment reasons. LeCun does cut quite a lonely voice amongst the top executives and scientists by saying large language models won't enable human-level machine intelligence, but there are still strong arguments for why they won't scale. Tim Detmers from Carnegie Mellon argues that AGI and superintelligence are physically impossible fantasies born from treating intelligence as an abstract concept rather than a physical process. Mainly this comes from a scaling problem and that we're near the limits of what we can do with current architecture, a view echoed by OpenAI's former chief scientist, Ilya Sutskever. According to Detmers, the future belongs not to those chasing mythical AGI or superintelligence, but to China's approach of widespread economic diffusion, integrating good enough AI everywhere for practical productivity gains rather than racing toward an impossible goal.
Okay, we're going to pause there, and these are all on YouTube. You can find them. AGI is already here, after all, is the title of that one. We heard probably 85% of it. Let's take a look here. Now, I don't know much about Claude, but they had something, as you've already heard tonight, called Claude Bot. Now, this story is Claude Bot exposed, the $16 million scam that fooled everybody. Let's find out what this is. This is a McCoy product, so we'll have to skip ahead. And let me get this loaded in here. I think that's it.
Something.
No, that's the same. I don't know why it does that. Hold on. A?
72 hours.
There we go.
That's all.
Okay. Here we go. ClaudeBot, C-L-A-W-D, ClaudeBot exposed. The $16 million AI scam that fooled everybody.
That's all it took for the internet's hottest AI project.
ClaudeBot.
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 ClaudeBot to completely implode. I'm talking $16 million in crypto scams, banned accounts, exposed API keys, and a security nightmare that should make every single person using AI tools right now stop and pay attention. Hey, if...
All right. Let me sneak ahead here. All right.
.ai/labs. Let me take you back to where this all started. A developer named Peter Steinberger built something that sounded like an absolute dream, ClaudeBot, or as people called it, Claude with hands. This wasn't just another chatbot. This was an AI assistant that actually did things for you. Persistent memory across conversations, full system access to your computer, over 50 integrations. Working seamlessly on WhatsApp, Telegram, Slack, Discord, iMessage, and Signal. Think about what that means for a second. An AI that could read your emails, book your flights, manage your calendar, search your files, execute commands on your computer, all while remembering everything you've ever told it. Developers went absolutely insane for it. 9,000 plus GitHub stars in the first 24 hours. By the end, over 60,000 stars. People were calling it revolutionary, the future of AI assistance, the tool they'd been waiting for. Then everything fell apart. At 5 a.m. one morning, Anthropic's legal team, the company behind Claude AI, sent an email. The message was clear. Your name sounds too much like our trademarked Claude. So at the...
Yeah, we have to expect that, right? Claude is Claude. It's spelled differently, but there was an obvious ripoff from the get-go. Here we go.
Back of dawn, the community scrambled into Discord to pick a new name. Dozens of suggestions flew around the chat. By 6:14 a.m., Peter made the call, let's go with Moltbot. That single decision triggered a cascade of chaos that would...
There was the change that we talked about earlier briefly.
Fold faster than anyone.
Moltbot. Or as she said, Moltbot. It's a weird choice. The Molt. The Molt. M-O-L-T. The Molt. January 27th. This has happened on the 27th, so 3 days ago. All right. Let's see if we can learn some more.
The community scrambled into Discord to pick a new name. Dozens of suggestions flew around the chat. By 6:14 a.m., Peter made the call, let's go with Moltbot. That single decision triggered a cascade of chaos that would unfold faster than anyone could have imagined. Within seconds, not minutes, seconds of announcing the rename on Twitter, bots sniped the Claudebot handle. The squatter immediately posted a crypto wallet address trying to extort money. Then Peter, in the panic of trying to rename everything, accidentally renamed his personal GitHub account. Bots sniped that too, within minutes. But here's where it gets truly insane.
You know what I think? I don't think this had anything to do with renaming Anthropic. I think that was a canard. I think this is about renaming Claudebot, which was the ripoff name that Peter came up with for his little project. So let's reformat that thought and hold on to that. This is not about renaming Anthropic Molt, M-O-L-T, or Molt, Bot. All right, hold on.
Scammers saw the confusion and chaos and launched a fake Claude token, claiming it was the official Claudebot cryptocurrency, and people bought it. The fake token hit $16 million market cap in a matter of hours when Peter finally got in front of it and publicly denied any involvement, warning everyone it was a scam. The token crashed 90%, down to under $800,000. But by then, real people had lost real money chasing fake hype.
Fake, well, do they not get what they deserve? Fake hype. Do your due diligence. Do your research. Go slowly. Are these people, $16 million worth, just jumped? Wow.
Meanwhile, scammers created elaborate fake GitHub profiles claiming to be head of engineering at Claudebot. They hijacked old abandoned accounts to promote pump and dump schemes. Hundreds of API keys got exposed because users had misconfigured their setups, not understanding the security implications of what they were installing. All of this destruction, all of this chaos, all of these scams in 72 hours. But here's what terrifies me most about this story and why I'm making this video to warn you: the tool itself, even when it was working as intended, was a security nightmare. Let me explain something that got buried in all the hype. Claudebot required full system access to your computer. Read that again. Full system access. That means it...
That's rather humorous when you think about it. And these people were okay with that? There's dumb and then there's dumber.
Again, full system access. That means it could read every file on your computer, access every folder, see every password stored in your browser, view your tax documents, access your banking information, read your private messages, open your photos, execute commands with your permissions. Our AI integrator at First Movers, Jason Alberti, immediately flagged this as a massive security risk when he saw it. And here's the kicker. If your files are as messy as most people's, including mine, this presents an opportunity for constant AI hallucinations and an impossible agent to manage. Think about it. Your computer right now probably has old files from 5 computers ago, random downloads you forgot about, duplicate folders with similar names, incomplete projects, conflicting information, outdated documents. And you're going to give an AI assistant access to all of that and expect it to make good decisions on your behalf. That's not convenience. That's chaos waiting to happen. Now, you might be thinking, Julia, I didn't download ClaudeBot. Why should I care? Because ClaudeBot isn't the problem. It's a symptom. We're in the absolute wild west of AI right now. New tools launch every single day, promising to revolutionize your life. And people are installing them without asking basic questions. Who built this? What access does it need? Where is my data going? What happens if this company disappears tomorrow?
Full access to your computer. Everything you have. Full access. What is wrong with people? Wow. I mean, we have no privacy as it is, but to give it up voluntarily like that is cuckoo.
What's the worst case scenario if this gets hacked? The hype is so strong. The fear of missing out is so real that people are making decisions in seconds that could compromise years of their digital life.
Haste makes waste.
Keeps me up at night. This isn't an isolated incident. This is a pattern. Tools launch with massive hype. Everyone rushes to be an early adopter. Then the security issues emerge, or the legal problems surface, or the scammers move in, or all three at once. Let me break down the red flags you need to watch for. Red flag number one, full system access. If any AI tool asks for complete access to your computer, stop. Ask yourself, would I give this level of access to a person I just met online? Red flag number two, too good to be true? An AI that remembers everything, integrates with over 50 services, and can do anything you ask. That level of capability requires that level of access. And that level of access creates that level of risk. Red flag number three, unclear ownership and liability. Who owns your data? Who's liable if something goes wrong? Who do you sue if your information gets stolen? Red flag number four, hype-driven adoption. 60,000 GitHub stars in 72 hours isn't organic growth. That's hype-driven adoption. What happened with ClaudeBot is now a blueprint for scammers. Find a hyped AI project with confusing branding. Create chaos around naming and identity. Snipe social media, handles, and domains. Launch fake tokens. Profit off the confusion. And the scariest part, this is getting easier, not harder. So what's the answer? No, you don't avoid all AI tools, but you do need to be smart. Separate your risk. Verify everything. Start small. Watch the money. And stay skeptical.
Yes. What happened to skeptical? Seems to be kind of a missing player on the big board. You got to be careful out there. This is speed of light, and there are a lot of hucksters out there. Right now, using AI to contrive and construct the next scam, which is going to become more and more difficult for you to understand. I think that's given. So there you go. ClaudeBot. Well, if you watched it and if you've learned, it did fool a lot of people. And that's only the beginning. Let's see if she has anything else to say.
AI revolution is real, but the path there is going to be messy. There will be more Claude bots, more scams, more security breaches, more chaos. The question is, will you learn from this? Because sometimes the most powerful tool you have isn't artificial intelligence, it's your own intelligence. Use it. This is Julia McCoy. I read every single comment, so tell me.
Okay, well, thank you to Julia McCoy and Dr. McCoy, another good commentary covering virtually a breaking story. And there are going to be more of these things, though. There will be, like an onion, they'll have many layers, and they'll be very difficult, even for those of us who think we're pretty good at looking at things as they really are. But most people look at things as they wish them to be, or as they are told they are. And that's easy to do. But this is a minefield, and I still want to point out that the obvious, AI is growing so fast that few really have the ability or the time to install, learn to use, and appreciate or benefit from most of the applications that are being released. Things are happening too fast. Okay, gang, hold on, and we shall continue in just a few minutes.